This is RTI, Radio Tetris International.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad. It was just amazing listening to young Naomi. I like that. Immensely good.
Hey, girl, she's very, very... I know I say it a lot, but on her case, I mean it. She is a good egg.
Mm. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no,
anyway,
she's a great woman. A good girl.
Yeah, don't forget, boys and girls, do have a look at that website, www.holidaysforheroes.com. And as Naomi said, you can still sponsor her, which is really cool. Really, really, really cool. Absolute inspiration. This is Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls, and me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains. Slight problems with talking to Lee this week, but we don't know why. Well, we think we do.
Why?
Well, because you keep going...
You've got a problem talking to me, dear.
No, but you keep going...
Do I?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Still to come on the programme, Lee's going to be rocking with a combined age of over 400 people.
400 people? You're so silly. You know what? Have you seen that advert for iPads?
For iPads? No.
Yeah, the advert, it says... iPad is thin, iPad is beautiful. Well, my laptop has developed an eating disorder after seeing that.
which reminds me, of course, Apple had to sort of say sorry with the little mistake on the new Apple iPhone, which didn't work very well. Anyway, moving along quickly, he says. Lovely story from Italy. Ka-ching! Motorists in southern Italy must have thought it was the lotto win because there was loads of, literally, piles of euro coins on the motorway. And what happened was a security lorry, which had something like 2 million euros, that's about $2.5 million, had a bit of an accident and was full up with 1 and 2 euro coins. Now, the lorry's rear door dropped open, and these coins went all over the motorway. Before the police arrived, loads of drivers stopped, and it would appear that there was around 10,000 euros disappeared. Then the police closed the motorway because they wanted to get the money back, and it made the front page news in the Italian newspapers, which we think is absolutely fabulous. So
I just think it's funny that the money vanished while the police had got the motorway closed.
No, I think they closed it down just a bit afterwards. But if anybody in Italy's got some of the free euros, I want some. That's only fair,
that's
isn't it? I think that's fab.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely. We are Europeans.
Yes, exactly. We're not where you are because you
it's
don't.
Our currency.
You don't.
We don't have it, do we?
No, but there's a lot of shops in London that apparently take euros now.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I've just sort of. I've become very cosmopolitan about it. I just think everybody takes them. But they don't, actually.
No, they don't.
We're a stupid country. No, I totally disagree with myself. I think it's right. Once again, if they take away our money and our radios, they're taking away every bit of tradition.
Oh, here we go. Anyway, do you remember, boys and girls, a while back, we were mentioning a guy called Jonathan Ross. Now, Jonathan got... We mentioned him last year and again recently. He got into trouble and got suspended from the BBC last year for a bit of a bit of a laddish prank. And this particular...
It was worse than a laddish prank. It was just childish stupid.
Mm. Anyway, it's the final episode of his BBC One chat show, Friday Night with Jonathan Ross.
Tonight?
Yeah, it's actually with David Beckham's there tonight as well. But...
Oh, that'll be interesting. And Jackie Chan.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow, exciting.
I think that's brilliant. That's proper entertainment.
Well, I hope Jackie Chan biffs David Beckham.
Yeah. You're just such a Luddite when it comes to new modern people, aren't you?
David Beckham's not a modern person. David Beckham's a big, squeaky footballer.
Yeah, right.
Jackie Chan's a little old man who thinks he's hard. Well, I could beat him.
You're right. Well, apparently, Jonathan is also doing a radio show as well, which is finishing. And I made this sort of kind of prediction, if you remember, Lee, that he would appear back on the television quite quickly. And I thought it would be Channel 4, which I did get wrong. I have to admit it. Because at the same time as Jonathan's doing his last programme on the BBC, which I'll come to that in a minute, he is signed up for a new TV series on ITV, the commercial station, or the biggest commercial station in the UK. But he's having a little
I
bit of...
I do remember that I suggested that as well.
Oh, I know.
On ITV One.
I know. Two things that worry him about that. Before, people have gone from state broadcasters over to commercial television. It hasn't worked. So maybe yeah. it'll work this time, because he's... I just think Jonathan Ross is funny. I think he's a great entertainer.
I think he is. I think he is. It was, you see, also, what happened when he got the boot from the BBC and had to work his gnosis, you know, like by doing these last final shows.
Yeah.
He'd become so lazy and so fat and sort of just boring that he's written, the shock of being sacked made his shows absolutely brilliant. The last three shows have been amazing.
Oh, well, there you go.
And if he take that onto ITV and carry it on, it'll be a dream, but he won't. He'll get fat and lazy again.
I'll see. But what's interesting is, because the BBC's under pressure to do all sorts of things, and there's some absolutely ludicrous comments coming out about the BBC at the minute. And since, this is really odd, because I've noticed this before, there's a sort of trend that goes on, whereby people move from one broadcast organisation to another. And it's always when the state broadcaster's getting hammered by everybody. And it's the same again now. I know a lot of the names won't be household names globally, but Adrian Charles, who used to be on the BBC, has just gone to ITV. Closely yeah. followed by Christine Bleakley, who used to be a co-host on a programme with Adrian Charles, also gone to be right. to ITV. Now Jonathan Ross has gone to ITV. By the time the BBC are done, they'll only have boring old culture programmes, and nobody will be interested. Well...
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Apart from Lee.
I agree.
No,
the only person
that will be watching BBC One will be Lee Banks.
Why?
Well, because you're into this old fogey programming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many Lee Bankses are there in the world?
I am not into this old fogey programming at all.
Yes, you are.
I complain bitterly about the programming on all stations on TV. I am sick to death of watching old films that have been on 50 times, and that my young lady, you know, my young lady, should be back at 11:30. It is now British time. 12:30, and she's just walked in.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, no, the I hate people who do that to you.
Go on.
She's talking to me while I'm on air.
Oh.
I've forgotten what I was saying, but I...
Exactly, you see, because you're a weak man who can't multitask, and she's a woman. Marvellous.
Yeah, she ruined that for me. I was on a roll and it went because of a woman.
I don't know. I think somebody at the BBC should... get a kick up the backside. I wish Jonathan Ross all the best with his new programme. It seems like George Michael has lost the plot again. Apparently he's been caught by the police on suspicion of being unfit to drive. The case has not been resolved yet. He was arrested after police were called with reports that a car had crashed close to where he lives in Hampstead High Street. He was then taken to a North London police station and bailed to return in August while the police sort of let the blood tests go through, I suspect, and stuff like that. And, of course, it was only 3 years ago that he was banned for 2 years after pleading guilty to driving while unfit through drugs. George, what are you... Oh, I know what you're on. What are you on, George?
Yeah, exactly. This is more than a careless whisper, George.
Very droll. Very droll. And then there's... Here we go again. We're off. The journalists are at it. The journalists are at it. Let's pretend to have doom and gloom every day. Oh, God.
It is. We're all doomed.
Why?
We're digitally doomed. The sun's going to roast us. We're all going to die digitally. There'll be nothing left. And we'll have to get all the old Bakelite radios out.
We'll destroy
the future.
Apparently, and I don't have the exact dates, but I'm sure there's a Radio Ham listening somewhere that will give me them.
I think I've got them.
Well, according to one newspaper who won't get mentioned because they're pillocks, there's going to be some sun activity which is going to disrupt...
It's the Daily Telegraph, lady.
This will disrupt communications devices such as satellite and car navigations. Hello, yeah. Good morning.
Hello.
Woo.
Good morning.
Dobry rano. This happens every sort of 10 to 13 years, Lee.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean it's not going to happen again and we're not all digitally doomed. We're digitally doomed. We're all going to die from digitals.
Right.
Right?
You know what this is?
It happens after 13 years, because 13 years ago we didn't have digital.
It doesn't make any difference. I will tell you a very true story. Absolutely gospel true. On my word, it is absolutely true. Before there was, like, the high-powered satellites, like you've got now, like Sky and stuff like that, which is actually really not a satellite, it's actually the Astra satellite, people used to use IntelSat, but you needed one of those huge, great woks to watch anything. And I had one of those big, great woks. And we were sitting in the office with one of the big, great woks outside, and the doom and gloom merchants were saying, it's the end of satellite as we know it. And at that point, there was the great CNN was on IntelSat, and I sat there, this was in the early 90s, and watched analog, Lee, analog,
yes.
Analog CNN,
I used to go out with analog.
Yes. Analog CNN disappear from my screen for about a minute. It went all fuzzy, nothingness, back up again. It was a sun cycle. It's very common.
What?
It was the sun cycle.
So, no, but the sun's going to expand. This is a different thing. This is the sun is expanding and throwing out these immense rays of energy out towards us.
Yes.
It's like having a big microwave next to you
yes.
that suddenly explodes in the air.
Yes.
And sends all these microwaves out to get you. They're like arrows and they're coming at you, flying at you, and you're going to die!
Not. These solar storms happen regularly. In fact, radio hams use them as a great way of broadcasting long distances on very high frequencies. It can disrupt satellites. It can cause some problems, but it doesn't normally. And in actual fact, there was more problems with the old analog days of satellite because they weren't as sophisticated as they are today. It's been happening for years. Where has this bloke gone? Has he not done his research? Doesn't he realise this happens every time?
Yes, he does.
What?
He does. He does do it. If there's a list of all the times it's happened in the past and what caused. All this story's saying is that this is what could happen. He's not saying it's going to happen.
It's a no story.
It's not. It's a story that this is what possibly could happen in the future. And we've been warned about this. You are a fascist. You are a fascist dictator of news content.
No, I just hate these idiots. But why can't he put, we're all going to be digitally doomed, maybe, and the headline should read, and of course this happens every few years anyway.
Well, I wrote that headline anyway.
Well, no, but you get what I'm saying. They do this doom and gloom headline.
You're insulting my headline. Keep your sunny side up, but we're all digitally doomed.
You're right. Oh, my word.
Are we going to Hot Farm yet?
No, not yet. We're going to Hot Farm at the end. We're going to conclude with it.
I want to have a row with you.
What? Do you want me to put it in now, then?
No. It'll ruin your show for you, won't it?
No.
You do what thinks best.
Well, with your audio today, I'm surprised anything's working. We'll stick it on at the end. No. Why do you want to have go at me about Hot Farm? What did you do at Hot Farm?
I interviewed people about things. Have you not listened to it?
Yes.
It's funny.
It's all old people.
It's not all old people at all. It's a four-year-old on it.
I'm lying. He's right. I hate to admit. But then there's a 71-year-old bloke on it.
And a 27-year-old girl. And an 8-year-old. And me.
Yes. And?
I'm 27.
Yes.
I'm a 65-year-old. And he's interesting. He's just interesting.
Anyway. anyway,
the show.
Apparently, research. Oh my God! Here we go again.
What's that? Oh, that's the next one. Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with that?
Researchers found that coriander and turmeric spices, traditionally used to do flavours for curries, can reduce the amount of methane produced by sheep by up to 40%. Like I care!
It will stop the world coming to end in a big gas cloud, won't it?
No, there's a better way.
It's sheep.
Yes.
Pumps. That caused the problem. It's all these sheep that just stand around eating grass and magic mushrooms and don't move and then just do big trucks. That's why the world is coming to an end. It's
no.
The sun and sheep. The sun and sheep are killing us.
There's an easier way, Lee.
Go on then.
Mint sauce.
Give me that shouting. Mint sauce. Yeah, they'll all run away.
this is according to findings from a study by Newcastle University research students and some doctor or other. And apparently, it works a bit like an antibiotic. The spices, they claim, killed off bad bacteria in the animal's tummy.
Yes, that stopped them trumping.
Right. Well, if that was supposed to be the case, Mother Nature would have got the sheep to eat them in the first place.
What? They... No!
Yes!
People... No! They eat anything. They wouldn't go around it out. They couldn't get the tablets out of those little packets, could they? Because they're sheep.
Mm.
So they need people to come along. And what you have to do... You have to get, like, a straw.
Yes.
Tickle the sheep under its chin till it goes, bah, like, as it goes, bah, its mouth opens, and you go, and blow it down its throat.
Well, the trouble is they can't hoof it off to the chemist, can they?
No, and they can't, and they're not on the NHS, they'd have to pay.
He missed that one completely, boys and girls, but never mind, he wasn't standing up. I just think that's barking. I really do think he's barking.
Barking? You've got a sheep that barks.
Or bearing. Still to come, don't... All joking apart, Lee will be talking to loads of people that work to the Hop Farm Festival, which is the second biggest festival in the UK. Age ranging from 4 to 71. I can't believe it. But he did, and he's done it, and it does work. So that's still to come on the programme. Before that, an elderly Russian woman may face charges for beating up her younger husband.
I think I married her.
What, the younger husband?
Yeah, but yeah, I married him as well. That's why she beat me up. Now I've had women hitting me over the head with pans.
Have you?
98, though. God, that takes a bit of doing, doesn't it?
Well, this is a story in the Moscow Times that claims a 98.
Are you going to say that the people at the Moscow Times are pillocks as well? Because they'll be after you.
Yeah, they're a bit close, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The very nice people at the Moscow Times, absolutely wonderful, impeccable journalists at the Moscow Times, reports that the 98-year-old wife beat her 78-year-old common-law husband with a pan. Hang on a minute. Do you know, the reason why, boys and girls, is she was jealous, allegedly, about the young guy, 78, being interested in the neighbour. What's he going to do?
68.
What's he going to do at 78?
Well, don't take me down that route because I just said something that would have, in my head, that would have got us taken off the air forever. So move on.
Yeah, he might be out of gum at a death, but blimey, O'Reilly. But I meant by that, he was kissing her with no teeth in.
I was going to say he should wait till she's 69.
Stop it.
Well, I said I wouldn't say that.
No, probably a good idea. Apparently, the newspaper claims that she struck the man with a rolling pin.
No, he hit her with a rolling pin.
Oh, right.
She hit it on the head with a pan. So he picked up a rolling pan and hit her. That's a bit naughty. She's 98, man. She could have been died.
Oh, my word, where do they find her from? What's this about a zoo becoming a real Jurassic Park, then?
I know. This is a bit frightening, really. When you think it's all doom and despair, the sun's going to burn us up, digital things are going to go out of the window,
right.
And some idiot in San Diego, California, is creating animals from the past, endangered species, by what you do with frozen cells of the dead.
The DNA stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that DNA stuff.
Right, okay, boys and girls, it's bad news over in San Diego, but it's time to disappear off to Hop Farm in Kent in the UK.
Are we going?
Yes, we're going over there now. Report from our lovely Lee Banks, and we should be able to hear this bit, which will be good. We'll be back next week, boys and girls, on Postcard from Poprad. If you want to get in touch with us, get hold of us via your own station or via Facebook with the radio page or Postcard from Poprad page. Look forward to hearing you from there. Quick introduction, Lee.
Well, I want to introduce it, do I?
Yes.
This is me down at Hop Farm proving to Eric that not anybody over the age of 20 can be a rock star.
See you next week, boys and girls. Bye-bye.
RTI.
That's what I was thinking about. This institution paid for by the government. Where you get free room and board.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is what it's like to be at a rock and roll concert in the UK in the sweltering sun when you're almost as old as the stars on the stage. I'm 56, Bob Dylan's 68, C6 Steve is in his 70s, but the interview I had planned with him never happened. Organisational problems, you see. Then, of course, there's Van the Man, he's 64, and Ray Davies, well, he must be at least the same. That gives them a combined age of 268. And last weekend, more than 40,000 people turned up. 40,000 people from babes in arms to pensioners on sticks, boiling and dehydrating in the sun.
The sun is still very, very hot, so please don't forget to drink as much water as you can.
Pete Doherty and Foy Vance danced wanly round the sweating stage, and the toilets stank, and thousands of people who'd paid £200 for a weekend of wildness were stranded in traffic jams while the concert at Hop Farm boomed. So why do we do it at our age? Or in fact, why do we do it at any age at all? The answer isn't even blowing in the wind, it's blowing round the empty chambers of your wallet. Basically, we do it because we can afford to. We can afford the petrol and the hotel bills and the £5 beef burgers and the overpriced beer. The babes in arms don't care. They go everywhere for free. And the teenagers and the students, well, they're just recapturing our youthdom. And that's what's so fascinating about events like this. We're all here for a common purpose. And that purpose is to spend a bit of time with the old folks of rock and roll. That's Mumford & Son in the background, a young band who've transcended the age barrier. This kind of event actually breaks down walls, but in an unexpected way. Not in the revolutionary way of the 60s, but in a way that actually brings young and old together. Right, we're here at the Hop Farm Festival, and I've just met Mr.
James Pryor.
And how old are you, James?
I'm 71, God help us.
Oh, you've enjoyed the concert up to now?
I loved, actually, I've seen Blondie, but I've never, ever seen Dr. John do such a great gig. I thought he was fantastic.
What interests me, when you think the four main acts on today, on this festival, have got a combined age of nearly 300 years old.
Well, if you include me, it'll be 371.
And me, we'll be over 400, yeah. Hello, yeah. Do you mind if I ask you your name?
May Walsh.
May Walsh, yeah. And May, I know it's a really rude question, but how old are you?
I'm 65.
65? Hello, and your name is?
It's Laura.
Hiya, Laura. How old are you?
I'm 27.
27. Right, George. Why are you here at what essentially is a Bob Dylan concert?
I'm an English teacher, and he is considered a bit of a poet himself, so I want to hear about the lyrics and maybe this sort of cultural legend and see what he's like performing in the flesh. and just generally for a nice day out.
Does it matter to you that Dylan's actually 69 years old?
Not at all. Age is just a number, really.
And we're here at Hop Farm now, and I'm with two very attractive young ladies with their sons. Could I ask you what your son's name is and how old he is?
He's Finlay and he's 8.
Right, could I ask Finlay a question?
Yeah, sure.
Finlay, how have you enjoyed it up to now?
Yeah.
And what's been the best bit to you?
Watching Eleanor on my sister on that.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Bob Dylan yet, but I'll bet you this week it's going to be really good.
And your name is?
My name is Anne.
Anne.
And this is my son Robbie, and he's 4.
Robbie 4. Right. Is it all right if I ask Robbie a question?
Sure.
Yeah. Robbie, how are you enjoying it? Do you think you're like Bob Dylan when he's on?
Yeah.
So your name is?
Matt.
Matt, how old are you, Matt?
I'm 16.
16? And is this like one of your first gigs you've been to?
Yeah, one of the first proper ones, yeah.
And who are you here to see?
Bob Dylan.
Really? And at 16, how long have you known about Bob Dylan?
About 8 years, I suppose.
And what do you think of him?
Amazing, amazing.
Amazing in what way?
Just the hugely influential and amazing music, and just brilliant all around, and everyone he's inspired.
Absolutely. What does his age not matter to you? The fact that he's just under 70 years old now?
No, I think it's more impressive that he's still going, he's still doing good music. It doesn't affect at all.
Do you think he's become an old blues man?
Perhaps with his latest albums, but you can pick any one of his first decades, one of those albums from that time, and they're all amazing. So even his current music's fine, but you just got to look back and into the 60s and 70s, just amazing music.
Everybody says he can't sing.
No, he can sing.
I think he can sing too. So there we have it, my small homage to the troubled troubadours of rock and roll. Men who went out on a limb in the 1960s and stayed there just for us. They are old men, but they're still playing for the supper, whether it's in a theatre or a field. And what they've done is transcend the age barrier. Young and old alike are turned on by their wild mercurial sound. The young bands like Mumford and Son, Kasabian and the Kings of Leon have the same staying power. Let's hope they do. They're the future of our kind of music, after all. And in the meantime, here's to the hands and the hearts of the men who come with the dust and are gone with the wind.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.